This week on It's So Bad, we add what might be the first deck-building roguelite video game in Magic the Gathering 1997 for the PC here on It's So Bad. And welcome, everybody. Matt, hello.
How's it going, Mike?
Chris, you are here this week.
I am. Mr. Ratings is here.
Mr. Ratings. And Encore, you are here.
What's big up? Money, big money.
As well. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod and email us itsobadpod@gmail.com. We are adding this week Magic the Gathering 1997, the game, to the endless list this week. And this is a game that I played previously in my younger years. I think some other people around the table have played this game back in the day as well. Encore, did you play this game back in the day?
Obsessively.
Really?
Yeah, I played this game a lot. It was... I had the clunky, crappy secondhand laptop that like my dad no longer needed or whatever, and this game would run on it, and then I just would play it all the time. Like I would do it on car trips, like whatever, until the battery ran out. I would play it quite a bit.
I'm imagining a late '90s laptop battery. How long it would last on a car trip?
I'd like a solid like 3 hours.
Oh
like,
really?
Yeah.
Wow, damn.
Yeah. No, like I mean, you know, low power settings. That game taught me about
low
like setting it all like low brightness and all that stuff. Like legit, and just to keep the battery going as long as possible.
That's good. Yeah. So I had this game back in the day somehow. I also, like, when I started to get into going to thrift stores and picking up PC games and, like, or not PC games, but, like, old games, like PS2 games and whatever, I, in, like, 2011 found a PC copy of this game at, like, a Savers just randomly. And I was like, oh, cool. I remember playing this game. It was pretty dope. I enjoyed it, but we are adding this game to our list. Chris, do you remember this game back in the day?
I remember it, but I didn't play it. Okay. I only played it because... I played this in exchange for you playing Deja Vu a few episodes back, and it's, you know.
How do you feel about that trade now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it would have been a better trade if I said, you play Deja Vu and you give me like a microwaved Bud Light or something like that. That probably would have been a trade I would have been happier with. But, you know, this is, I'm going to put a disclaimer on this. This is, like, I think back to like our Spider-Man 2 episode where you said, you know, I didn't play this game in the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, mm-hmm. I'm in that. I didn't understand it exactly entirely where you were coming from. I totally get it now.
Okay. That's good.
I did play actual Magic the Gathering, though.
Oh, you did? Recently?
No, not recently, but back then I was playing Magic the Gathering. Back then.
And Matt, you've played Magic the Gathering for a long time.
Yeah, I've played a bunch of Magic, card Magic, like real life Magic.
Right.
I never played this game. I saw a bunch of magazine ads for it all the time.
Really?
With like a big old troll.
Okay.
But no, never played it. It wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know it existed until I was doing some research for Theme Hospital and saw the Sid Meier connection.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Chris, you and I were in like a activities class in like middle school where we played Magic the Gathering.
Yes.
What class was that?
It
was
I think it was just like a free period.
Yeah, period. We used to play Magic and Star Wars, the shitty collectible card
game. No, that wasn't shitty. That was awesome.
With the planets and stuff.
Yeah.
I actually found all my cards that game recently.
What was that game called? Star Wars,
the collectible card game.
Yeah. Okay.
It was made by Decipher. It's awesome.
Sure.
I liked all like the border art and shit. It was, I don't know.
Yeah.
Cool game.
Yeah.
But yes, we are adding Magic the Gathering 1997 to our endless list, which is a list of all the good games, the bad games, everything in between, categorized by us subjectively and scientifically, of course, into a list, a ranking that goes from currently Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser at number 46 now. Is that correct? Yes. 46 games. This will be our 47th game added to our list. And so we are mainly going to talk about Chandelar, I would say, for 99% of this. episode, which is a portion of this game, which is pretty much the bulk of what this game is. There's also the duel portion.
Right.
So the duel portion is where you can go and just play AI. You can't even multiplayer. It's just AI. Where you're dueling against somebody else and you can build your own deck, etc. But Chandelar is
the adventure mode.
The adventure mode. Yeah. So I was doing some research for this and I was looking up what's the first deck builder video game? Or what's the first deck builder game? And a lot of people were saying that there was a game in 2008. It's a board game that I forget what it's called.
Dominion. Yeah, it's a huge game.
Yes. I didn't know what it is because I wasn't into board games or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a lot of people play
it. A lot of people play Dominion. Yeah. So they're saying that Dominion was the first deck building game.
I mean, I don't know the history of deck building games pre-2008.
Yes.
But I mean, it sounds like an early one.
So this game comes out in 1997 and is a deck building roguelite.
Well, deck building means you're building your deck in the middle of the game. Like in Dominion,
every time you play the game, you're building a new deck.
Yeah, in Dominion, well, not even that. Like in Dominion, you start with a deck of like what is it, 10 cards or whatever, and then as you play rounds, you build your deck to more than 10 cards. In Magic, you're starting with a deck.
Yes.
So you're not building a deck in the game.
But this. I think what you're saying is that in this game, because you start out with a deck of 38, I think, or something like that when you start.
Right, but it would be like
going through the game building the deck.
It would be like in Magic if, like, turn three, all of a sudden you get five cards put into your deck. That's a deck building game. That's what a deck building game means. Because you're pruning and adding cards to your deck that you cycle through each round or over
like,
a course of rounds.
But Slay the Spire, for example, is a deck building game.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't. I guess maybe because. But
that's what they call it. That's what they
but I mean, in Slay the Spire, it's a little less traditional because it's like an RPG battle. Like, you're battling against enemies. You're not even playing against another deck.
Yes.
Like, a deck building game is a genre of board games.
Right, but there are deck building video games, and Slay the Spire is considered one. Dicey Dungeons is a recent one. SteamWorld Quest is also considered a deck building video
game. Yeah, I can see. I see what you mean, but I think. I guess when you're reading that Dominion is the first deck-building game, it's a very specific type of deck-building.
So you actually are building it while you're, like, dueling.
Right. Okay. Yeah, like, between rounds, like, cards are getting... And you can, like, pay to remove cards so that you're not seeing the dead cards as frequently, similar to Slay the Spire.
Okay. Well, this is a little bit more broad, but I would consider this a deck-building game.
I see your point.
This is also a roguelite game, which is very, at the time, different.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was Rogue back then. But.
There were roguelite games. There was like.
Yeah, I
that's wait, roguelite or roguelike?
Light. Yes,
it's like, isn't it?
No,
well, I think there's both.
I heard. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So a roguelike.
This is a lengthy topic.
Yes. So a roguelite is traditionally a game that is in the genre like Rogue. Which is a game.
Right.
A roguelite is like a randomly, is like procedurally generated content within
like a
game.
One run.
Yes.
Sort of.
Right.
Yeah. So, so there's a difference. So
the,
like.
Yes. I've heard both terms. And I'm like, yes. The background of both terms. I feel like this game is just so. All right, whatever. I don't
this game is you've got like one life. You're starting from like scratch.
Yeah,
but the world is procedurally generated.
Right.
The dungeons are procedurally generated. The overworld is procedurally generated. So every time you start the game, the map is different.
And you can have like a good run or bad run, kind of thing.
Yes. So yeah.
You guys had good runs. Sorry.
Rarely.
The runs are rarely good.
So how you can play this game. So we've gone through this like 18 times in our group chat.
Yeah.
But so you can go to Abandonware, and this game is Abandonware. No one wants to play this game anymore. But there's a lot of bugs on that site, Abandonware.
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of like compatibility stuff for running it in Windows 10.
And then there's Chandelar 2012, which if you Google that, you'll find a link to slightlymagic.net where there is a link to somebody's mods they've added to make it compatible with more recent software.
Operating systems.
Yeah, operating systems. But yes. So
did you see anything about Chandelar 2015?
No, is there Chandelier 2015?
So, apparently, Chandelier 2015 is another version that you can play that has, like, better, like, windowed support and shit like that. And it adds a whole bunch of other cards, and there's, like, an INI file that you can edit to change, you know, what cards you'd see in dungeons and shit like that. But apparently, on that forum, slightly...
Magic Net.
Did that. Someone harassed the creator, Korath, a whole bunch, and, like, started to threaten, like, getting Wizards of the Coast involved to, like, sue this guy, that he, like, deleted all of his posts, and now you can't find the updated version as easily. And so I had to, like, go through, like, someone's Google Drive folder to find, like, a .bat file that would run a script that would update it to 2015.
Wow. Yeah. I did not get that deep.
Yeah. It's like the Black Lotus of Chandelier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. it's a bummer because the 2015, like, I didn't go through the process of configuring it as much, but you can, like, add more modern cards and shit to it.
Yeah. Hmm. I think part of the charm of this game is the old cards. I agree. Keeping it with the old cards. This game was developed by...
But I just wanted to run it in windowed mode, and it was, like, a nightmare to get this game.
Yeah.
Windowed mode was that important to you?
Yeah.
No, it's tough, because if you, like, X out of this, or you click on another window, it, like, fucks it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough. Yeah. It can be tough. So if, like, Discord's running on the side, and I'm trying to chat with you motherfuckers, I'm, like, chatting through my cell phone, because I can't
look at it.
So.
Windowed mode is very important in 2019. In the age of dual and triple mods.
I mean, that's fair.
But that's right. So this game was developed by Mike Reprose, who also developed the Civilization games back in the day. Also designed by Sid Meier.
I never put together that they did Civilization, because then Sid Meier left.
Yes. Oh, so this
I love Civilization and Civilization 2 as well.
So this game is the last game that Sid Meier made for Mike Reprose before he left and made Firaxis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so MicroProse, known for Civilization 1 and 2, also Sid Meier's Pirates, Railroad Tycoon, which you mentioned in the last episode, or in Age of Empires, the XCOM series, Roller Coaster Tycoon, Master of the Orient, a lot of games, a lot of classic 90s PC games. So this game was...
Wasn't there something with, didn't he, like, put his name on it, Civ 3 or something, to just... Wasn't there something where they put his name on something just to sell more?
I think you're right.
Well, yeah, where like he didn't actually
Sid
have any
Meier's Civilization.
Right, that they didn't actually. Right. He didn't actually do anything. Yes. Just his name put on.
He was the dude. I played the shit out of Civilization 2 back in the day when I was like really young. Played the shit out of Civilization 3. Played this game. So Sid Meier is my childhood. But yeah, so as we said, this game you are. Randomly generated world. What you're trying to do is prevent five mages from taking over the land. The land of Chandelier. The five mages that represent the five different kinds of mana within Magic the Gathering. I thought it was funny because I'm trying to think of the timeline. So after this game came out, like 2 years after this is when Civilization 3 came out. And then like a year after that, Alpha Centauri came out.
I didn't know Alpha Centauri was after Civ 3. I thought it was before it.
Was it before it?
I thought it was more of like a Civ 2. I mean...
No, because it looks exactly like Civ 3.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the visuals of this game remind me of Civ 3 and Alpha Centauri.
Hmm.
So when you said that this game was designed by Sid Meier, because I hadn't done research at the time, I was like, wow, this game actually does look a lot like Civilization 3 or Alpha Centauri. But yeah, so it's top down. You walk around as a person, randomly generated isometric world. Enemy encounters can happen on the world map where you are running into random creatures, witches, really high level stuff will just appear and murder you.
I literally played for maybe like an hour or 2 hours this morning just to like refresh. And I pretty much got nailed by a dragon.
Just on the world map.
Just as soon as I started the game. And it was,
They start you off with such a shitty deck.
Yeah.
So bad. And depending upon the difficulty, so if you put it on easy, it's just one color. Yeah. If you put it on the second highest, the second level, it's two colors, three colors, and four colors, and like they make the deck harder, even though just the one color deck is like really bad at the start. So, and you have, you start off, I think, with eight life. It just makes it like really, really hard.
But a lot of the enemies, low level ones, will have like four or six or something like that.
I was going to say, if you play so many games of Magic in a run, that if the life totals were higher, I would be even more frustrated.
Right. That's true.
Like
that's
the fact, making them end quicker, I think.
Yeah, it's just it's tough because at the outset, what you end up doing if you want to beat this game is you just search for the towns, and the towns will have quests, and the quests will be like, defeat this one type of enemy, deliver a message, deliver a type of card or a color of a card to another town, or defeat an enemy. And some of them will give you monolinks, and monolinks is how you start with more life.
Yeah.
So I always just end up, when I start a run, looking for the quests that give me monolinks immediately and just running from every other encounter or paying the gold.
You can get, to get out.
You can get new cards, though, too, right?
Yeah.
Like they'll say, like, oh, you can take any creature.
Sometimes. Or so any, depends. Enchantment. So the rewards you get are either, I think, gold, a card, or monolinks.
Or the amulets, right?
Yeah, or the amulets. Yeah. You get amulets as well.
Or you can buy overpriced common cards at in the shop, just like, you know, true to life in like the mid-90s when you go to like a card convention.
Forest, 50 gold. Yeah.
One of the tough things about this game is when you start with like such a mana deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to search out for more mana in your deck because it's like, I never felt like I draw enough mana with the starter decks. That's the biggest pain in the balls.
My more experience is like I tried to play this game, you know, not to like jump ahead or to a different topic, but like I liked the dual mode version of this game, and I was playing the campaign version of this game. What was frustrating to me is that I was playing it like the way that I used to think that like I used to play Magic back in the day, and it was like because you have such little life, you don't really have the time to kind of like set up what it is like you were trying to do. If like I used to always and I used to go like, oh wait, what I gotta do is I gotta run out all these like 1/1, 2/2 creatures, hope I have some sort of enchantments to throw them to boost like their strength, and just hope that like I can just get like an onslaught of like direct damage in before like the person I'm playing against is gonna get like defenses up against me.
Yeah. I mean the key was I had two strategies. One strategy was to play a black deck and hope to get and put three dark rituals in the deck and try to dark ritual my way to higher level creatures.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was to start a red deck and just fireballs.
Mm-hmm. Like
and
red is by far the easiest, I think, in this, just because your enemies are often at four life or something.
Yeah. Right.
You've got lightning bolts that you can just
Lightning bolts, ball lightning.
And on the flip side, I thought like blue was probably, despite being like the color where all these broken spells in like Magic in general are, blue was so not fun to play in this game because when you start off with the deck, like you have these like weak flying creatures, and flying is good, but like you've got these other spells that are useless.
Yeah.
Especially when you compare it to like the red spells that you could get, you know?
Yeah. I mean, red is so OP. There's like, so you have a fireball, which is just like a common card, which is a lightning bolt, which is just a common card. But then you also have things like Ali from Cairo. Have you seen that card?
Yeah.
Yep.
So what that card does is it's a creature who's 1/1, I think. And
0/1.
He's 0/1?
I think it's a 0/1.
Yeah, so
can't even do anything else for you.
So he as long as he sits on the board, if your life is reduced to less than one, it's reduced to one.
Automatically and every time. Without limit.
Yeah. It's so such a broken ass card. Yeah. How I beat that game originally is I had to Ali from Cairo, fireballs, lightning bolts,
and
Shivan dragons, fucking destroyed them.
It wasn't too different from like the actual like. I used to primarily do like red green decks, like when I played, because I was like one of those channel fireball cheese dudes, and then I loved also running black decks too. But like, I would try to play like that. And it just never worked out for me.
Yeah.
The process of adding a second color to your deck in this game, at least starting at the easy difficulty when you have a mono colored deck, it was funny that you'd go into a town and you're like, I just hope that they have forests here.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to get more lands.
Yeah. Well, so wherever the town was situated is where you get the color cards. So yeah, if it's in a forest, then you get green cards. Some of the, it was like, depending upon how you generated the level, the world at the outset, you could get fucked if you wanted a red deck. There would be no mountains.
Yeah, you gotta go. It's, I mean, it's like a rogue light, like that you've just gotta kind of go with the hand you're dealt. Yeah.
I'm definitely guilty of restarting. I would play for like maybe 5-10 minutes. Like when I was younger, I'd be like, this sucks, and I would just stop and start it over again.
I mean, you kind of have to at some point, because I played a black deck and there was no swamps anywhere, so I was like, what the fuck. It was like no one had the when they were making this, the generator, they weren't like, you automatically need X number of towns in a swamp. It just didn't happen like that. Sometimes there would be like one mountain area in the whole map. It's kind
of
sucks.
See a little patch of swamp, but there's actually no village inside of it. It's all on like the forest around the swamp, so you still can't get anything.
646 cards in this game from Alpha, Beta, Unlimited, and Arabian Nights, Antiquities, Legends, and The Dark. I don't remember Legends or The Dark at all.
So they came out pre-4th edition.
Yeah.
And so what was interesting is like...
We started playing like right around 4th edition.
We did, which was already out by the time this game came out, because Ice Age was already out too, which means Fallen Empires was probably already out too.
Yes.
So Fallen Empires, I think, is like kind of a... I'm thinking of Three Kingdoms, where it was like kind of like a side, you know, pushed a little to the side. Well, there was a set that like broke the value of a lot of Magic that they were worried about.
All I remember was Fallen Empires. No one liked that set at all.
Oh, well, I love the art.
The art was good, but the no one like
it was like a 75 card set.
Yeah,
it
you always really picked
cool.
up.
Yeah, 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 right. And there were a lot of like reprints of cards that already existed. Yeah.
So there was all these cards. So Antiquities, Legends, The Dark were the expansions included. Then 5 cards created for the novels.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's then there cool. were 12 cards created for the Astral set, which specifically made for this game.
Didn't know that either.
So, 646 cards.
Some busted ass cards.
Some busted ass cards.
The whole Power 9 is in this game.
What's Power 9?
They're like the 9. Best like the cards.
Like Black Lotus.
It's like the 5 Moxes, the Black Lotus, Time Walk, which gets you an extra turn.
Okay.
Time Twister, which is like you shuffle your deck, library, and library, graveyard, and like exiled cards, maybe? I forget what it is. All back.
Your hand.
Oh, and your hand, yeah. And you basically like draw a new hand. And then what's the last one? The last one is like Ancestral Devil's Recall, Devil. Which is you draw 3 cards. For 1 mana, which is busted.
There's even more stuff like...
Well, yeah, there's more busted, but that's like the... Those are the...
There's the mana batteries cards. That are pretty busted. Soul Ring, which...
Soul Ring, super good.
Yeah.
Mana Vault, Mana Crypt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yes. Mm. Yeah.
There's a lot of good cards.
So I was... So what I would do in my playthrough when I beat this game, because I didn't beat this game when we just were playing, and you have to get, I think, pretty lucky to actually beat this game. But what I would do is I would beat guys and take the dungeon clue, find the dungeon, and keep running dungeons until I got all the Moxes, the Black Lotus, had like multiple copies of them, because you can do that.
I didn't know you can do that.
Yeah, no, yeah. So I had like 3 soul rings at the end of it.
That's so busted.
Yeah. So that's how you beat it, because the last boss is incredibly difficult unless you have a lot of mana really quickly and you have a higher life total.
The cards that they put in this game, I think you kind of mentioned it in the beginning, or maybe it was before we started recording, but like Wizards of the Coast would never make this game.
No, they would never. Like, kind of cards. They like, can't. They because they don't want to sell these cards. They wouldn't make it from a marketing perspective.
But they like made it in such a time where like even if they knew the cards were powerful, it was still such a naive time that they were like, oh, well, yeah, we can put a game with Black Lotus in it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You would never see a game with Black Lotus in it now unless it was like the hardest thing you could achieve or if you had to buy it with like DLC or, you know, through a loot box.
Yes.
Right.
So I think there's like a charm to the game where it's like, oh, wow, like they have a game where you can go and find like all the mocks, like, and just play with some shitty creatures. You know? It's like a time capsule of Magic in 1997.
Yeah. I'm like, as we're talking about this, I'm like running through how I beat the game.
Yeah.
And it's like Library of Alexandria to get multiple cards, then getting all of the Mox diamonds, then getting all of getting Allie from Cairo, getting Black Lotus, getting the Soul Ring, yeah. so you can get all that mana really quickly, and you can just blow them away with fucking mm-hmm. fireballs.
Right. Yep. And it's really just to shorten these games, because you have to place so many of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, I, you know, once you get into this game, so a couple things that happen. So as you beat each color, as you beat a dungeon, those creatures in the overworld disappear. Mm-hmm. So you get less random encounters. Mm-hmm. So if you beat the red guy, you don't get any red enemies on the map. And then you end up getting so many cards, and you can sell the cards that you have so much gold that you can just run away from a lot of fights.
Oh, and just bribe them.
Yeah. Yeah. And then on top of that, the dungeons are all randomly generated. Mm-hmm. So what you can do is you can go into a dungeon, be like, oh, I don't like this setup because I have to run through five guys in order to get to the final boss. I'm going to exit the dungeon and re-enter and see what it randomly generates from me.
Definitely guilty of that.
So I cheese the shit out of that.
Yeah, because a lot of them you could just get to the treasure without even fighting.
Yeah. Yes. Like, well, it depends too. Okay, so if you... So some of the mages, the bosses, they'll send guys and tap cities. And if they three cities, then the game's over and you have to start over again. Mm. Or then you can get a buff that makes it five cities, I think.
Yep.
But if they as they tap, there's more enemies in their dungeons.
Oh, okay.
So if they have one tap, there's like X amount of enemies. If there's two taps, there's X amount of enemies.
Yeah, I would get the message that they were getting stronger, but I had no idea what that actually, how that manifested.
So yes, that did happen.
They just have like big domes over the cities or whatever, I feel like, too. Yeah.
They were tapped with magic.
Yeah. Oh,
and they had the symbol on them.
Could you also run faster after you defeated the wizard of that color or that major
like
over that there territory? There are roads, I think, that make you just...
Was that what it was?
So you could buy mountain walk, swamp walk, forest walk.
Oh, that.
Yeah. And that makes you walk quicker over the forests or swamps, etc.
Right,
there's also Leap of Faith, which allowed you to leap randomly to another location on the map, which was never useful.
Yeah.
There was a staff that killed all the enemies on screen if you wanted to risk an amulet. So there was like a 50% chance that you would use an amulet when you hit that button.
I don't know if I ever used that.
Yeah, there was also Sleight of Hand, which allows you to change the ante.
That's another like antiquated magic
thing.
You know,
if we're gonna play Magic the Gathering, you better give me a card if you want
to. I couldn't imagine, like, I never played with ante, but I could not imagine.
Can you imagine, like, you played like back then, it was like, what was like the cards, like Chaos Orb or something like that? It must be worth like hundreds of dollars now. Yeah. You're like, oh, I won this like in an ante game back in like 1995.
Yeah.
The bugginess of this game.
This game is very buggy.
Yes.
Especially even if you play the 2012 one, because it's not made by... So I couldn't figure out how to save.
I don't know. I was able to right click and click save.
Really?
Yeah.
I could never figure out how to save, so I just did resume game.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Yeah, because you would hit save, and then it would have like a pre-populated list of like the red wizard, the blue mage, the black
guy. I never even noticed that.
Yeah, right-clicking opened up a whole menu that you could look at, but
so
whatever.
So the difficulties, too. So the difficulty scaling is super fucking broken as well in this game.
So what did it do besides give you a deck color?
Yes, so additional color in your deck for each difficulty, lower starting gold for each difficulty.
The gold kind of seemed like not a big deal, though, right? You just sell
cards. Creatures have plus two.
Not when you get into it.
Plus four or plus six life, depending upon the level. Mm-hmm. Less starting amulets. Evil wizards either have 30, 35, 40, or 45 life at the start of their things. And some dungeons, this is the big one, some dungeons will just flat out restrict colors. So the black,
I remember that.
The black dungeon restricts white cards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, so imagine you build a white deck and you have to go defeat the black wizard.
Yep.
It fucking sucks.
Let's be real. Nobody builds any white decks.
Yeah.
Or at least solo white decks. Let's be real.
Sarah Angel? You weren't a Sarah Angel fan?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but
Angel.
You wouldn't run an entire white
Swords
deck.
To Plowshares?
I'd go green
like
and white.
Some
yeah,
white.
Green
Armageddon. White. Armageddon. Wrath Armageddon. Of God.
What else was that? I used to live in the black and white decks. There was a couple of them. Just how wacky it was. I loved it.
The white deck?
No, black and white deck. In
real life. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
In IRL.
So zany.
So yeah, that the big thing that made the difficulty scaling broken was the effects, because each dungeon gets effects, but at higher difficulties, effects are like just stupid. So
what I never played on any of the difficulties outside the lowest.
When we started to do this game, I played at the middle tier difficulty, and I was like, this game is really hard, so I had to keep scaling back.
The only reason I feel like I could see myself playing the second difficulty just to get another color.
Yeah.
Which seems like it could be a, you know, a bonus or like
that's where I usually
fun to at least start with two color deck.
Yeah.
But
so
that really fucked you up.
Did you beat this game back in the day?
Yeah.
So you know these. So I beat this game as well. However, I did not beat the final boss.
Oh.
Do you remember the final boss?
Oh, yeah. He has, like, a million life or something. Yeah. So, I don't think I beat him either.
So, after you beat the five mages, you're teleported to fight Arzakan, yes.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds right.
On the easiest difficulty, he has 100 life. On the second difficulty, he has 200 life, 300 life, 400 life, depending on the difficulty. If you lose the battle, you still get a win screen. You still beat the game.
Okay, that makes sense.
But you will remove less of his time from the normal plane, the plane of reality.
I see.
So at the outset, he has removed him for 3,000 years. As you tick away his life, you remove him for more years from reality.
Oh, that'll be good in 4,997, right?
Yeah. Is there like any sort of AD, image of someone actually beating this one?
Yes. I looked up a YouTube
clip. Oh, you did? Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Listen, if I could use Ice Age cards, I had some sweet Ice Age combos that basically did infinite damage. I would have put that guy down forever.
I think I got him really close on 100 life because he's not hard.
He's not hard. You can get through it. It's just...
He like will take eventually, away life.
Yeah. He has a five-color deck too, which I could see... With, you know, the random drawing, like, he could just not have cards to play. I wonder how much the game cheats front, with that.
That's also, too, like, one of my things is I really think that there's, the AI is scripted, because a lot of the battles will play out the same way, with the same cards coming up over and over again for each AI. That's kind of a bummer. Yeah. So that kind of sucks. But, yes, this game.
This game, like, this game. I really like Magic the Gathering, and this game made me dread playing Magic.
Sure, yeah.
No, what?
I will say this. I think the game, like, as being a product of its time in 1997, I was
totally
impressed with how well... I'm not going to say it was perfect, but like it integrated a lot of the mechanics of Magic at the time. They kept it to, like, the expansions and the core decks that weren't as like convoluted as some of the expansions were at the time.
Right.
So like it didn't get too wild.
And everything was like thematic too. Like
Yeah.
But I mean it was a convincing Magic world that you were in. I thought, you know.
But the crashing, the bugs, the when you first start a game and like you're getting run over by like your opponent who just magically can pull out a whole like army of like one mana, like 1/1, 2/2 creatures, and then just conveniently has like enchanted growth or something like that to pump their stats more. And can wipe you out like in a turn with like cards that, like, if you opened a booster pack in real life, you'd be pissed that you actually got them. Like, that's infuriating.
The classic way to die in that game is you're playing against this guy who has all these 1/1 creatures and has an endless supply of giant growth.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
So you just keep getting moped by this fucking green guy.
Yeah.
Yep. There was a game I played earlier today, just trying to like again trying to get like through a little bit more, and it was like I was like just on the verge of like just beating someone, had now like two health, and I was like, oh, this is great. My next turn is gonna come around, I'm gonna wipe this guy out. What do? They pull a fireball, but they just conveniently had enough mana that was equal to my remaining life and killed me. And I was like, I hate this game.
Especially when you start out at 8 life.
Right.
I will say there's something about the momentum in this game, because at the outset, if you don't play well and you don't get good hands and you don't start winning, then you can't snowball into a good deck. But if you start winning, you get so OP after a few hours.
Yeah, sure.
So you have to, like, it really depends upon what run you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can't just like automatically just get better. It's like you need to get certain cards that give you more mana up front or give you more cards up front, or you have to have the right cards, otherwise you're fucked.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, to have the right, having the right color starting deck and then starting near towns and cities that are selling
right
the proper colors, yeah. That's a big advantage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where does the first Sid Meier's game of the Endless List go on our Endless List?
Well.
We could start at the bottom.
I think we should just start at the bottom.
That's a great place
walk up.
To
start. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's good. I think this is a better game than Jurassic Park Trespasser.
I do. Too. 45 is pro wrestling for the Master System.
Yeah.
Worse game than this. Right?
I had more fun playing pro wrestling than I think I did, because pro wrestling didn't crash on me. I didn't get run over by what was the...
I didn't crash for me that often. It crashed for me in the middle of playing some of the matches, and I was like, oh my god, this fucking sucks. Yeah. I'd be like one damage away from killing a guy, and it would crash, and I'd be like, damn it.
I'll be honest, I never had it crash. It was just like buggy and janky. Like, it never felt like it was running properly.
Back then it crashed like a... I'm basing that off of being scarred on like...
No, it did. I have the original version that I was playing on an old computer back like 10 years ago, and it also was janky and buggy.
Yeah, janky is the right word for it.
Yes. I think there's something though, like to them having in 1997 implemented the entire like Magic
catalog
game.
Of
well, and like the game engine of, you know, a card game that's relatively complex and like has, you know, instant effects and things like that. Like, I never feel like the game broke while I was playing Magic. Like, it didn't process that correctly.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like a play.
Yeah, no, it would just
like it functioned.
It had the complexity of it.
It did, but sometimes it would just break in the middle of the match.
I mean, it like helped me learn how to play. Like actual Magic with the cards that I would buy. Like I got in on the Urza side or whatever.
You could test.
Older, but yeah. I was able to understand more of the overall strategy of building a deck, as opposed to just being stuck with like the cards that I had.
I think this is a better game than pro wrestling.
I think it's a deeper game than pro wrestling.
Yeah. Yes, it's definitely a deeper game. Yeah. But you know what? I lost a bunch of... I hate to genre jump here, but you know. When I was playing pro wrestling, well, when I was playing Magic the Gathering, I lost to a bunch of jobbers all the time. And
there are a lot of jobbers in this game.
Yeah, there a lot. Are. The job squad was out in full force in their goblin rock sleds and the and the whatever. Goblin, and that was infuriating.
Goblin blue. You know what the best is? When they have like the decks that are all goblins, and then they have the guy that is King. The Goblin King, and then they put that guy out. Then they have the guy that is your power and toughness is equal to the number of creatures you have.
Oh, yeah.
Like, God damn it. Yeah. Fuck you, AI scripting.
If only you were playing white and had a Swords to Plowshares, you could just remove that guy. Or Wrath of God. You could just kill them all. I mean, you guys are hating on white.
Was that the one of the guys holding the...
Oh, yeah, balance? Yeah. All right, so what's magic. Next on this list? Pit Fighter sucks.
Yeah. If I was here for the Pit Fighter episode, I'd be like, that goes below pro wrestling. Pit Fighter is atrocious.
Well, yeah.
I think, so the one thing that I hate about pro wrestling for the Sega Master System, and I have to say that every time we do it, because Nintendo Entertainment System 1 is a much better game, but the pro wrestling for Sega Master System game is bad because in order to advance in that game, you have to beat the same guy 10 times?
Yeah, which is funny because I really like tag team wrestling for the NES. Which literally only has one team you fight, and you have to beat them 50 times. And but that game is better than pro wrestling for the sake of
that game is more of a deeper game.
You gave a strong
punch.
Bad too.
That's
a different episode.
Yeah, I think it's a better game than Pit Fighter. Where I struggle is right now is going above John Madden Football 93 because I like John Madden Football. And I think the 93 edition is pretty decent.
I would not put this above John Madden Football.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I would, personally. I mean, I guess...
I would as well, but that's only my personal
preference. It's a good comparison, though, because, like, John Madden is... like, I was just saying how Chandelar did a good job getting all of Magic the Gathering, like, you know, working. Mm-hmm. John Madden's a pretty functional football game. Football's a relatively complex sport, you know, like...
Sure.
And I think when you think of... when you factor in Legacy, I mean...
Yeah.
Madden Legacy.
Is 93 true. The first?
No.
So, I mean...
I think
Legacy was already created, yeah, right?
But I would say it's a more popular... I don't know if we'd consider this, but it's more popular game is the Madden series. More people were playing it at the time. It's more functional game. I have more fun playing John Madden Football 93 than this game.
One thing these two games have in common is that I feel like an ambulance hit me when I was playing Magic the Gathering.
You really didn't like this game, huh?
No, I hated it. I mean, I hated it. In fact, I feel like it actually impacted our friendship a little bit. I had to play this.
Why did you make me do this?
I have a soft spot for Magic purely because they've not made another... like action-adventure
game or adventure game?
Just like a game that's not... like they've made Duels of the Planeswalkers, which gets the magic part down, but...
not the overworld and the dungeons and, like, and all that.
And
I played Duels of the Planeswalkers like 2012 one.
But they give you also like a more complete deck. There's less of like your sort of deck design going into those games than in this, whereas you're kind of... I mean... they give you the bare minimum to just start playing, and really you can go off in any direction you want.
Yeah,
and they give you the tools to be able to like really pick certain cards that, you know, can fit a strategy.
Right.
It might not be fun to go through that effort, but...
it was fun for me, because that's like the core of why Magic is fun to me.
Yeah, making cool strategies. I mean, I would rate this above Madden, but I mean, if I'm outvoted, that's fair.
It's 2-2.
Right
now.
I mean, is Madden Football really that good? I mean, it's worse than Contra Hardcore. I mean,
yeah.
Well, end zone of the Enders.
I wouldn't put
those
this
are
game
real
I wouldn't
games.
Put this game above Paperboy, I guess, but
that's a leap.
Where are we going?
I'm just saying.
Are you just doing this? Is this the art of the deal we're doing here?
Yeah, I'm saying. I think it would be better than Madden and Contra. Though.
This feels like you're just saying that just to get it higher.
You know what? I kind of side with Uncle.
I'm just saying.
Here we go.
I think this could be a solid 41.
I think so too. I would rather play more of this game than. I feel better about playing more of this game than anything I felt about Zone of the Enders.
So listen, so here's what I felt about coming out of this game. So I played this game probably for this episode, I probably played this game for a solid like 10 to 15 hours to try to beat it. And I didn't beat it because I just could never,
so hard.
So no, I got to a point where I had, I killed all, so one of the runs I did, I killed all of the mages except for the white mage, and I had a red deck. And he tapped two cities. Mm-hmm. And when you tap two cities, in order to get them untapped, you have to beat a boss.
The defender like or whatever. Dragon.
But he has so much health, and you have to ante up one of your extremely good cards that it makes it so hard. So I just tried to run through the dungeon without beating the tapped cities. But there would be like five guys on the way to the final boss.
Mm-hmm.
And life in dungeons... It doesn't carry over. So so if you lose four health in a battle, then you'll be four health left for the next battle.
Life does carry over.
So it's.
But I mean, when you play other roguelike games, like if you don't beat the game, that's like you don't see beating the game every single time you play it as an achievable goal.
No, but just I just felt like I was like bashing my head up against the wall for this fucking game.
Yeah.
And I remember it's like you have to get so lucky in order to beat this game is my what I'm trying to get at.
Yes, that's fair.
I just think this game makes acquiring new cards and building a deck more complex than just winning matches. Like I think I appreciate that this game went through the effort of creating a world for you, like creating a process to improve the deck rather than just you went down the list and
It's in the RPG part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. I think so. Where I stand on this game and what I was trying to get to, and I think I lost my train of thought going into my experience, was that I played this game for 10 to 15 hours, and afterwards I was like, fuck this game. I never want to play this game again, because I got to a point where I couldn't beat it. And mm-hmm. I had a really good run, and I was like, and that run was like 3 hours long. So I was like, I don't want to do this, start all over again, because I just can't beat this white mage, and I only have one guy left. I got super frustrated. And then I stepped away from it, and I haven't played it for like a month. And I looked up this game again, and I was like, oh man, I kind of want to play this game.
You did this though. Like, you said, hey, we got to exchange games.
I know, I can't. So it's like,
you did this to yourself.
It's like a heroin addiction, right? You,
I am super happy that all the I mean, like that comparison. I am going to play this game now.
Think of it this way. Do you want to play Zone of the Enders, Contra Hardcore, Madden Football 93, Pit Fighter again?
I wouldn't mind playing Zone of the Enders again over this game.
Wow.
I actually have recently considered playing Contra Hardcore again, because I want to actually beat that game.
Wow.
And John Madden Football 93, me and Chris could go play right now and have a really good time.
Okay, yeah, sure, whatever.
He's holding no lies there.
I still think this is a 41.
I kind of agree with Encore.
Do you guys want to put this... and my computer just shut down. Okay. 43?
And push John Madden down to 44?
Yeah.
I think that's a...
Guys, fucking trump me.
I'm not going to say compromise, because this is not a compromise. This is the accurate rating. I think that's an accurate quantitative
result.
Chris is like ready to vomit. I can just look at him, and he looks like he's got a bad taste in his mouth.
Buying Greenland is at 45.
And this is a better idea than buying Greenland.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
Well, if we make that at the bottom.
Motherfucker.
43? I'll settle for 43.
I feel like I just, you know, when you chew on a Tylenol.
No.
It's fucking gross.
I think that's fair. I think no, you know, what's the big
feels dirty.
What's the big argument against Contra Hardcore? I mean, it's the main thing is that it's impenetrably difficult, right?
It's not impenetrably, but it is difficult.
But I mean, it's got, you know, I think it's got more going for it than the in certain aspects of this game. I mean,
yes.
I just wish they'd make a modern version of this.
Oh yeah, of course.
Still with old cards, like that's fine.
But you know where they go with these games today? You've seen Artifact.
Yeah, they don't make
Originally Magic Arena.
The Magic.
I mean, there was no infrastructure in 1997 to get you more cards, like for money.
Did you guys, speaking of which, did you guys ever play the like mid-aughts Magic Online?
Yeah.
I think I did once,
and it's apparent like the engine is like kind of a port from this, like, which seems similar, because that game, even today, Magic Online does not look new. It's a very old looking game. And it's pretty janky.
Yeah. So I played that a little bit. I played Armageddon.
I don't know what that is.
That was a set of Magic.
Oh, at one point. Oh, it's not a video game.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, that was like when I was in college, I think I played that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, Magic's good. I like Magic still.
Fun game.
I think it's a fun game.
I don't like Magic. I don't like any game that makes me buy cards in order to be more competitive. Sorry.
I feel like it was such a different concept,
though. If the cards were available, would you just play?
What's that?
Would you have fun playing if the cards were available
to play? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Like Slay the Spire. I have not played Slay the Spire, but I want to play that game because it's a game. I buy it for $30, and I can play the game.
Sure.
So I don't have to buy booster packs in order to be more competitive later on.
Because
that's just, like, even back in the day, I thought that was a scam.
It felt less dirty than it does now, like in 2019.
It did feel less dirty.
Yeah, a lot less dirty.
It's like, but, you just thought it was like, kind of what you did.
Yeah. So like, 4th edition, when we were playing in high school, I felt less dirty than I did when I was in college and picked it up again, and they were putting out new sets every like 6 months.
And you had a job and money.
At that point I was going to tournaments in college at like card places, and people would be like moping me out because I didn't have the latest sets.
I guess it's like in the 90s it was like you know, you collecting baseball cards. It was like a big thing, and it was like you didn't just buy like every baseball card.
You're also buying like the experience of opening the plastic and like smelling the smell.
I think it's why I have a gambling problem.
It's like it just like smells like I think new cardboard.
The Star Wars, not the Decipher one, not the Wizards of the Coast one. Like they always have like a little. I think it was like a little like promo piece of paper that was like right before like the last card, which is always the rare card in the deck. Mm. I always remember like I'd fly like the 14 commons and uncommons, but I was like a little slow, crawl above that. And I was like shit, not Vader.
Ankh and I most recently have played Magic where you just draft from a box that just never changes. So then you don't like you don't have to.
You know,
like, everyone pulls from the same pool.
You know what really turned me off to you about Magic when I was playing in college was that when we used to go, I used to have a friend that we used to go to like a card shop and they had like a Tuesday where you did Magic with where you played in like a tournament and you played for, you put money in and they, it was hosted by like a card shop and if you won, you got like packs or whatever.
Right.
What ended up, what they used to, what they still do and what I don't like about it is that the game isn't, what do I want to say? How does this, it's not a, all the cards, you play all the cards. You don't play all the cards that are in Magic. You play from this set forward when you play in tournaments.
Yeah, right. Like standard, modern, things like that.
So like they have tournaments where you play all the cards if you want to, or you have tournaments where you play from...
Well, then you're facing the...
Right.
The absurd...
The old broken cards.
Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Right, so...
Single cards.
I never liked that because you're taking cards out from strategy and you're you're forcing people to buy newer cards and that felt like a scam at the time. And now you have fucking loot boxes in every game where you're just randomly you have 1% or like 0.25% chance of getting any card that you would want.
Right.
I agree. I mean a lot of the older cards are just absurdly powerful, but they like make Magic cards. They made Magic cards then that they don't, they like shy away from making now. So yeah. I agree with you that I like playing with like the that full spectrum of cards.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think playing with a cube is like the way to go, like a set that you just draft from.
Yeah. Maybe sometime in the future.
It's pretty fun.
But we have a new number 43. Is that where we landed?
Yeah.
Right so, above John Madden.
So it is situated between Contra Hardcore and John Madden Football 93 is our new number 43, Magic the Gathering 1997 for the PC. Thank you guys for joining us. You can find the complete endless list within the podcast description. It's on our Medium page. There will be a link in the description. And you can follow us on the iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. But thank you guys for joining me. Chris.
Michael.
Matt.
Want to see a magic trick?
Oh, God. Encore.
Thank you for having me, man.
Also, at itsobadpod, itsobadpod@gmail.com to yell at us that this game is higher than John Madden Football 93, if it you don't agree.
It is, right?
I think everyone would agree.
But yes, we'll be back next week with another to-be-determined episode. Thank you, guys.
Woo!